Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Hope you're having a wonderful afternoon out there. It is slightly overcast. Temperatures are mild and there's a bit of a breeze, but it's not terrible. I'm Bridget Riedel, Ag Director here at WDAY, and so glad to have you on board for the afternoon. Looking forward to visiting as much as we can about all sorts of headlines and things that are going on agriculturally in the region. Now, with that warmer temperature that we were talking about, there's some definite snow melting out there. Things look nice. Near record temperatures have been going on in the area, but I don't know that we're going to hit any major milestones today. Currently, Fargo clocks in at 28 degrees, and whether or not you're in an area north or south of that, you're probably seeing similar temperatures. There's an expected high today of potentially getting all the way to 36 degrees, but we'd really have to clear out some cloud cover from what I can see to make that happen. Definitely a mix of sun and clouds, and the winds are a little bit lighter. If this is your opportunity to get out and enjoy some nice weather prior to a bit of a clipper system coming in this weekend and certainly falling temperatures for next week, I would take advantage of it. Next week does, in fact, look quite a bit cooler. We're looking at some single digit days and certainly below zero at night. Now, going to keep that ice pretty firm and nice and clear because we won't have a whole lot of warm temperatures next week. But right now, we're going to enjoy what we can and while we can. And weather updates sponsored by Ryan Bonesack. He is with Equitable Agri Finance. He's providing long-term fixed rates for farmland financing, and he really wants to talk to you, local farmers and ranchers who might be in need of his help. And you can give him a call at 701-261 6529. Again, that's Ryan Bonesack, Equitable Agri Finance. Now, in the world of agriculture, there is never a shortage of things to talk about, and I really tend to avoid politics on this particular show because there's so many positive things to talk about. But I do think it's important to note that the Trump administration has gone ahead and put a pause on a multitude of financial assistance programs. About a half hour ago, it looked like some of those programs were being reinstated. And the pause was simply meant for reevaluation. And as Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota stated, the likelihood that all of those things will still be paid out, or at least the majority of them that are not considered wasteful, et cetera, would go forward. And I mean that is particularly in the realm of farm programs. We have things that are administered through the Farm Service Agency, such as EQIP, CSP, and more, and we don't exactly know what those are going to be.
Welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus, folks. Not real sure what happened there. All of a sudden, just lost my feed. So we're going to try to make sure that we restore that before we get to our guests here today. But in the meantime, as we were talking, when it comes to some of the situations right now with President Trump pausing what's going on with national payments, et cetera, trying to figure out what needs to continue to be spent or what might not to be. We know that our senators are working to make sure they understand what that would look like. Additionally, there's a lot of work that's being done by corn growers, national soybean growers, and others so that they also have a clear understanding and can report back through the commodity groups to farmers. So we're very clear on what the case will be in going ahead. So we'll pay attention to that as much as we possibly can and share information as it comes forward. Now, other things that are going on these days. First of all, if you have not yet booked your time to attend next week, Tuesdays, that would be February the 4th, Corn and Soybean Growers Day in Fargo. That'll be held out at the Red River Valley Fairgrounds. You can catch up with a plethora of excellent speakers, as well as updates congressionally through the markets. They're going to be talking about weather, all of the usual information that you might need, but yet updated, looking forward to the 2025 growing season. So again, that is the Northern Plains Corn and Soybean Expo put on by our corn and soybean growers in this region. So please take the time to attend that as well. When we talk about raising corn and soybeans, well, we always think about weed control. One of those things that's currently on the forefront of minds in New Mexico is a new focus on weed control in blueberries and wine grapes. And it's a mesh screen, a metal mesh that's mounted just above the ground on plastic pegs. And as the weeds beneath it might grow and leaves touch the screen, the weed gets a zap by a low volt amount of power that's run by electricity through that mesh. So literally, it's just a weed zapper low to the ground. I imagine it might also take out flies if they were to land there too. But a person could be using that electrified mesh. If you touched it, it would just be a mild shock, probably even less than you would feel if you were teased by your farm cousins and touched the electric fence on the farm. Nonetheless, right now the work is being done is exploring mesh sizes, screen widths, penciling out how the costs compare when it comes to using a herbicide, hand labor for weeding, or other items as well. So that's a new weed control item on the horizon. Anytime I talk about agriculture, I always mention the fact that we have such a large industry and who it does indeed support. If you look around the U.S., the top 10 agricultural exports support 750,000 full-time jobs. Those top exports would include soybeans, corn, beef, so bovine meat, chicken, pork, wheat, cotton, distillers, dried grains, almonds, and soybean meal. And again, those top 10 agricultural exports bring 750,000 full-time jobs into the economy. So once again, agriculture supporting itself and so much more in a variety of regions. Now, one more thing, and that would be South Dakota State Extension. Well, they've been busy. They have held their 4-H program's fifth 4-H Capital Day. They did this in conjunction with the Brookings and SDSU days at the Capitol in Pierre. The event provided legislative experiences for 4-H members and the opportunity to work with 4-H supporters from across the state of South Dakota. Free and open to attend, this took place on January 22nd. The students were allowed to sit in on House and Senate sessions, legislative committee hearings, as well as caucuses. They had a tour of the Capitol building, a scavenger hunt, because if you're a kid, why wouldn't you want that? And then also a South Dakota State University ice cream social. South Dakota State University gives its claim to fame as having started the cookies and cream ice cream trend. And I will say, they've got pretty darn good ice cream. So those are a few of the short topics of agriculture that are going on in the region. We have a moment to catch up and then be joined by our guests today. One of them will be Dr. Jeff Winton. Jeff Winton with Rural Minds. Jeff is a dairy farmer from Western New York who founded Rural Minds. And the whole impetus behind this was the loss of his nephew by suicide and how to prevent that from happening with others. He also will have with him a doctor in psychology. We're going to talk about the rural effect on folks and why we see such a higher rate of suicide amongst farmers and ranchers. Also, it's the new year. We've gotten past the holidays. Folks are realizing that their credit card bills and so much more are coming in. And, well, that can weigh very heavily financially and otherwise on folks and add to their stress. So we will talk to the folks from Rural Minds when we return.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, where we're going to make sure we work through some technical difficulties, not only for me, but for our guests today. Sometimes these things happen, folks. Well, meanwhile, let's go talk about the world of rodeo. That maybe doesn't come up as often in your conversation every day as you might think, but here is something to know and to think about. First of all, when it comes to barrel racing is based on speed and accuracy. And when you leave that starting gate, you have to make sure that your speed is outstanding and you want to be accurate on your start and stop times. Now, previously, folks who were doing the timing for barrel racing began to realize that sometimes barrel horses would break the beam, the laser beam that was recording the timing, because they had really varied in height and size. And so it became when you have horses that range in height from 34 to 54 inches, that's a 20-inch spread on size and where their noses line up. And the beam could be by their nose. You could get it by their knee, their chest. There were all sorts of different ways that this could affect the outcome of that particular barrel race. And so a gentleman by the name of Alan Woodbury decided he could make this better.
what he went ahead and did was designed a 4-beam tripod that uses software that talks directly to your phone in order to make sure that the beam gets broken at the right time, and it monitors where it lands on that particular horse. So what we see happening is that this particular beam is far more accurate, gives us the best for software. Also, that metallic structure, that metal structure, can actually be built in Dickinson, North Dakota by Steffes LLC. The electronics are done in Minneapolis, and the software is done in St. Paul. So really, it's a regional benefit that these are being built, and they are so much more accurate than what we saw in the past. So it's been great fun to watch how these are being built and how they are, how they're being used. So we're finding it that this is new accuracy within those, for those racers. And when time matters, and especially when some of the dollar amount is so high, we're seeing pro racers who can earn over $1 million. We've got to make sure that things are going smoothly. So right now we are working towards getting our very hectic setup for our guests lined up. So hopefully we get that real quick. We're just trying to work through those technical difficulties. Also, one other thing for you to be aware of in the news that's going on right now is that USDA, that's U.S. Department of Agriculture, has a pilot program to boost small slaughterhouses. What that means for those slaughterhouses is that instead of having to have a fully USDA inspector during slaughter, you can go ahead and make sure that you have them doing the carcass readings via via video, and then that carcass reading can be federally inspected. It's helpful because in these smaller slaughterhouses, you don't have the opportunity to have someone right there during processing. So it's a great way to and get things changed over. So I just want to make sure that we get a chance to get our guests connected. Hopefully we're able to do that next. We're going to return with those folks and try to get going. We'll be right back.
And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Again, folks, I apologize. We seem to have a lot of technical difficulty going on. We're well aware, trying to make that better, trying to get all of our guests in and so forth. And one of the hardships is when Dean and I are both on the road. And Dean, it sounds like you managed to get a call in today as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's well, you gotta love technology, don't you? Yeah, I just got done talking to a big ag group in Lisbon, and we were educating them about the LRC and how the LRC works and how it can benefit everybody in our ag community. So a lot of great questions, a lot of interest, and want to thank the crew down in Lisbon for having me speak down there. Much appreciated.
Well, Dean, I want to introduce you to our guest today, and that's Jeff Winton. Jeff is a dairy farmer in Western New York. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing fine, Bridget. How are you?
Great. Thank you. And can you tell us a little bit about Rural Minds? This is very much your brainchild, and it's a wonderful organization.
Well, thank you very much. Rural Minds is a result of a family tragedy that we suffered a few years ago on our family dairy farm in Western New York. My 28-year-old nephew, Brooks, who was a key part of our farming operation, was evidently struggling in silence with depression and didn't feel comfortable talking about it. And just 48 hours after his brother was married, my nephew took his life, leaving behind 3-year-old twins and a family that will forever be shattered. And it became very apparent that we've got an issue in rural America as it relates to mental illness and substance use disorder, and especially the stigma that surrounds that. So in memory of my nephew, and in order to help other farm families like ours Rural Minds was launched 3 years ago, and we solely advocate for the 46 million people that live in rural America.
Wow. I so appreciate the fact that you will stand up for everyone trying to help, again, erase the stigma that goes along with it, because so many families don't want to talk about what has happened when it comes to suicide. And I hope that you are starting to see a change in that tide, that people are willing to share that information more than before.
You know, Bridget, we are starting to see things change. Again, we were launched just a little over 3 years ago, and a big part of what we're doing, which you will appreciate being a journalist, is storytelling. And that's why I always start out with my family story, because it's so important to put a human face on this, make other people understand that they aren't alone. My family had other members that were struggling with mental illness, but until my nephew died, we never talked about it. And after my nephew died, in our small farming town of 500 people, we had people suggest that we not talk about suicide. We even had someone go as far as saying, well, why don't you say he died in a farming accident? Or why don't you say he died of a heart attack? And it was really due to the courage of my late mother, his grandmother, that said, this is going to stop with my family. This has been going on in this farming community too long. We're going to start talking about it, and we're going to start talking about it in detail. And so that's what we've been doing the last 3 years. And the stories I hear as I travel across the United States are heartbreaking, but I'm also so encouraged that people are now starting to feel not only permission, but an obligation to start talking about what's happened in some cases in several generations of their family.
So, Jeff, we talked beforehand just a little bit via some notes, and one of the things that we get through the holidays, and this January, February timeframe can be very bleak just due to the weather, the overcast, the cold temperatures, that type of thing. But additionally, there's a lot of financial stress that pops up. How are folks around you in the farming communities handling that, or what advice are you able to give to others as we start looking into this time of year?
Well, I would say, Bridget, right now it's a perfect storm, because it's not only the time of year where people do suffer from post-holiday blues, and also from the fact that many deal with seasonal disorder, but we also have a number of things happening in our government right now. The Farm Bill has been floundering, as you well know, for well over a year. That's still not anywhere close to getting passed. We have a new administration coming in that hopefully will be good for agriculture, but people are now concerned about what's going to happen with some of the workers that work on dairy farms, such as our dairy farm. And just a lot of uncertainty. Change brings upon uncertainty, regardless what happens politically in our country. So there's just a lot of unknowns right now that people are really struggling with, especially in the farming community.
Well, you did say that that stress has been coming politically as well as financially, and we know that folks have much weighing on their minds, and maybe someone who can help us to answer some of those questions as well might be available to visit with us now, and that's Dr. Nikki Schaffer. Dr. Schaffer, are you able to join us?
I am. Thank you for having
awesome.
Me.
Thank you. So tell us your background and how you work with farmers and ranchers.
Sure. So I am a nurse practitioner by trade, and practice in a small rural community, in addition to my role at Pfizer, where I'm their global medical director for employee health. So see lots of different people from lots of different backgrounds, and see a lot of those different stressors, again, as they affect many different people. So really, my role in this has been the partnership with Jeff and Rural Minds in how we can support those rural communities.
And as you're doing that, what are some of the common themes that you are talking with folks about this time of year?
This time of year is really talking about the post-holiday blues a bit, but also terms that we know as people call seasonal affective disorder, where it's just there's not a lot of sunlight. And it can create isolation and loneliness. And truly, there are lots of shown benefits to being in the sunlight and just being out in nature. And then coming off the holidays, where there could be unexpected financial expenses that came because we felt we needed to buy a lot of gifts at the holidays. And then just isolation, where we were around a lot of people at the holidays and now we're by ourselves. So there are so many different things that happen, and it's really just trying to get people connected to the right resources and help them to find connections and get help, because that's the biggest thing, is just for people to be able to say, you know, I'm just not really feeling myself and I need some help with this.
So who's your first stop, your banker or your doctor?
Well, in my experience, it's the healthcare provider, because there are so many other parts to tease out when it comes to feeling a bit sad or just not really feeling ourselves. It's being able to look, are there underlying medical reasons that that could happen? Or it's also being able to talk to that healthcare provider that can then provide you with some guidance on where else you could go to get some additional help, whether it be therapy, whether it be contacting your banker, as you mentioned, whether it's finding a new routine and setting personal boundaries so that you are able to self-care and really build in time for yourself as a coping mechanism.
Well, coping is one thing, but all right, you've decided that, you know, you're doing all the things. You're trying to get out more. You're trying to get some sunshine. You're trying to improve your daily habits. And Jeff, as a farmer, which are the ones that you found are most successful for you this time of year?
Well, I can tell you, and it's a very timely question, that despite the benefits of social media, and I think it's pretty safe to assume that almost everyone listening to this program is in some type of social media, but for me, especially going through the times we're going through right now, I have greatly cut back on the amount of social media consumption. Now, being a dairy farmer, I don't have a lot of time to start with to be on Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever the platform of the day is, but just not constantly being bombarded with what's going on in the world. And unfortunately, with the division that seems to be growing here in the United States, has truly helped me. Nikki has also helped me by starting my day and ending my day with thinking about what I'm grateful for. This is something I learned from Nikki several weeks ago. And in the morning, when I get up, before I head out to the barns and start taking care of the cattle, I always sit and I think about what I'm thankful for. And I try to end my day with that as well. We all have a lot to be thankful for, but unfortunately, because we get so hung up with the demands of our farming operation and with the other things that we are dealing with, we forget about all the wonderful things that we have been blessed with. And so that has been helpful. The other thing that I found helpful is I'm trying to go for even a 15-minute walk. You know, farming is a pretty physical activity as it is, but when I'm done with chores at night, which is easier said than done considering all the snow we have right now in upstate New York, but I try to head out for like a 15-20 minute walk. I leave my phone at home. I'm out in the middle of the country by myself and just trying to clear my head. And it's amazing what that small amount of time, being away from technology, being away from people, even people I love, how restorative that can be and has been for me.
Well,
Jeff,
I think
Jeff. Oh, sorry, Bertha.
Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, I was going to ask Jeff. I said, first off, Jeff, that is fantastic advice. I love it. Couple of questions. What do you kind of pinpoint why the big rise in the issues that we've been talking about in the rural community? How come? I mean, is this something that's just that's been going on for years? And like you said earlier, people are just afraid to talk about it, or is this something that's been increasing, let's say, over the last 10 years?
Well, it's both, actually. So this has been inherent in our rural communities for many years, but people just have never felt comfortable talking about it because, unfortunately, mental illness still is not considered to be an illness. It's considered to be a weakness, a character flaw. You folks know as well as I do that if you grow up on a farm, you're taught to be independent. You're taught to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're taught not to ask for help. And so many people have been struggling for many, many years and have just never felt that they had the opportunity to ask for help. I'm convinced that was my nephew's case, even though we were a very close-knit farm family. But again, we've got a lot of additional pressures today. As I've mentioned before, we've got the uncertainty of what's happening in the world. We've got the uncertainty about what's happening in our own country. Farming, obviously, is a roller coaster, as your listeners know, to start with. And we're dependent on a lot of things that are out of our control. But the fact remains, you know, the latest statistics I've seen, which are, you know, absolutely sobering, is that people in rural areas are 65% more likely to die by suicide than any other occupation. And farmers and ranchers are twice as likely to die by suicide. We also have a huge issue with the youth in rural America, that young people, high school age in rural America, are 54% more likely to die by suicide. So one of the things that we're doing this year, a new program that we are launching with a number of our partners, including Pfizer, is aimed at young people to try to help them to seek the help that they're getting. Many times the family that they come from may not be comfortable talking about it, but we know that young people talk to each other. And this peer-to-peer support is going to be incredibly important. What gives me great hope as I travel around the country and talk to young people is that young people tend to talk about a lot of things that my generation, the baby boomer generation, would never talk about in public. And that includes mental illness. So I'm seeing a lot of signs of hope, but every 11 minutes, someone in this country dies by suicide. So we've got a very fast-moving runaway train that we're all trying to slow down for the sake of the people that grow our food and fiber.
And I think just to add to that, you know, it wasn't all that long ago in those same rural populations, they weren't talking about cancer. And when Jeff talks about his grandparents' era and you know, even his parents' era as being hike up your bootstraps and keep going, how many generations did we hear didn't talk about their health issues? We didn't talk about cancer. We didn't talk about heart disease. And now that has become much more of kind of a mainstay conversation, even around the dinner table, like, oh, I got high blood pressure. Oh, I'm being treated for cholesterol. Mental health has not progressed that far because so many people see it as a weakness or a flaw. And in reality, it's a chemical imbalance in the brain. No different than diabetes is a chemical imbalance in your pancreas, but it's not looked at the same way. And that's why we're also doing these conversations, is to try to really decrease that stigma and help people realize to talk to somebody. It doesn't matter who. Find somebody that you trust that you can at least start a conversation with, because that's really that first step of just being able to have that conversation and recognize that I'm just not feeling right. Something isn't going on.
And that's a wonderful point. So many times we just don't want to tell anybody that we don't feel right. So this is the time to think about it, especially if you not only notice the signs in yourself, but in someone else. And to probably, to you, Nikki, if you notice those signs where you're concerned about somebody else, what's the first talking point you can have with them to try to offer help or offer to find them help?
Honestly, it's just starting with a simple conversation. And by that, what I mean is conversations today aren't as simple as, you know, people used to pick up the phone. Now everybody texts or doesn't really converse. But really just being able to say to someone, hey, I noticed that you haven't seemed yourself. And it's really calling out,
you noticed something.
And saying, you know, I just noticed you haven't been acting yourself. Is everything okay? And it can be as simple as really saying, are you okay? And seeing where that conversation goes, because you're showing that you care. And this isn't like saying, oh, how's your day, that a grocery store clerk may ask you when they're really asking as a greeting. They're really not wanting to hear what all is happening in your life. This is acting from the heart and meaning it so that you're able to listen and be there and be supportive. Because a lot of times people feel so alone in these journeys that to have somebody even just say to them, are you doing okay, can mean the world to them.
That's a great point, and we appreciate the fact that just starting out easily can help make such a difference for others. Folks, as we roll to the end of our discussion today, Jeff, how can folks find out more about Rural Minds from you?
Well, we would greatly appreciate that your listeners go to our website, which is ruralminds.org, very easy to remember. We're also on most of the social media channels and try to put out helpful information there. I would also say, Bridget, that people should know about the 988 number that was rolled out across the United States 3 years ago. So if someone is not comfortable going to a friend or a neighbor or a family member or even the healthcare provider, but they feel they need to talk to someone, they can text or call 988 24 hours a day and will be connected with a trained mental health counselor. It's a free service. It's anonymous. And the best part of it, besides the fact that they will help you during your time of need, they will also help you find local resources in your area to help you as you continue this journey. So 988, a very important resource.
Ah, thank you so much to, again, Jeff Winton. He's with Rural Minds, and also with Dr. Nikki Schaffer for helping us out to talk about what's going on in our farm and ranch minds these days as we get past the holidays and then getting closer to that spring planting season. Folks, don't go anywhere. We want to touch on the weather because Dean, well, he's a way better weatherman than I am. He's going to do that for us when we return.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. I want to do a quick recap of the weather before we close out our show. We had a viewer question sent in asking about what are the chances of freezing drizzle this weekend. We're first going to see a band of snow push through on Saturday. Then we'll get in the warm sector of this clipper and as we head into Saturday night. The chances of freezing drizzle are pretty slim. Can't totally rule it out. But right now, it does not look like a good possibility. So that's good news there. But as I said, we do have a clipper system coming in this weekend. But hey, we've got a couple of decent days ahead of us today. A lot of clouds around, but we should be able to reach the 30s. A beautiful day tomorrow, more sunshine, light winds. And then that clipper system comes in over the weekend with a little bit of light snow and a lot of wind on Sunday. Not expecting a lot of snow, but what little we do get on Sunday. So for Bridget and myself, want to thank everybody for joining us on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.